My friends, I'm continuing with the series, A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. And in this third part, I want to speak about a faith that isn't troubled by troubles. You see, we're looking at the book of James, and we need to understand that the people that James was writing to were facing persecution. They were being evicted from their homes. They were being killed for their faith by the Roman Empire. It was a scary time to be alive. They were dying every day, and you could lose your life for being a follower of Jesus. Now that's why in the first verse of the book, it starts in this way. And let's read James chapter 1 verse 1 together. He says, "This is a letter from James, a servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to all of God's people who have been scattered everywhere in the world. Greetings." Now why were they scattered? They were simply running to save their lives. Their lives had been turned upside down with the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And they had lost their jobs, their homes, all their security. It was a real crisis, like some of the crises that you have faced and could be facing right now. So James writes this little short letter to encourage them in a crisis and explains the kind of faith that you and I need. The kind of faith that works when life simply doesn't. And he begins with the attitudes that we need to make a part of our lives in tough times. Now, let's read James chapter number 1 and let's look at verses 2 to 4. He's talking to believers who are facing much trouble. He says, "When all kinds of troubles crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they've come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. So let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed in you. Then you'll become a person of mature character and integrity with no weak spots." Now in that passage I just read, the key word is the word realize. He said, when you realize certain things, you're going to have a whole lot better handle on the problems, the trials, the crisis, and the challenges that you could be facing. Listen to me very carefully. Your success in handling the stress is going to be determined by some things that you realize. Now, when James starts this book, he doesn't waste any words. He immediately starts with teaching us four truths that we need to realize or remember in times of trouble. The first thing that James says that we need to realize is this, that troubles are inevitable. That's what it says in verse 2. It says, when all kinds of troubles come into your life. Notice, it doesn't say if troubles would come. It says, count on it. You will have trouble. James wasn't the first person to say this. Jesus said this. He said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. Peter said it. He said, don't be surprised when troubles happen in your life. Nobody's immune. Nobody is insulated. Nobody is isolated. Nobody is exempt from the troubles that come in our day. So he says, troubles are simply inevitable. Now, problems are not an elective course in life. They are a required course. They are a general. You can't opt out of the things when you learn that you learn through troubles. There's simply just no way to learn these things that only trouble can afford you the opportunity to teach you. Number two, the second thing that James says is that troubles are not only inevitable, troubles are variable. So not only can we avoid trouble, but troubles come in all types of shapes and sizes. They come in different flavors. And that's why he says in verse 2, when all kinds, circle that, all kinds, it's inevitable that all kinds of troubles will come crowding your life. The Greek word literally means multicolored. It means different shades of troubles are heading your way. Number three, the third thing that James says is that guys, troubles are unpredictable. They're unpredictable. They usually catch us by surprise. Troubles don't warn you in advance. They don't show up when you least expect it. The third part of the verse in James chapter 1, he says, when all kinds of troubles come to crowd you and come into your lives as intruders. See, notice that the trouble seems to come in the most inopportune time. I mean, you don't plan for them. You might not feel like them. It's like getting a flat tire on your way to work, or something that happens that is a complete inconvenience. If you could anticipate it, you'd probably delay it for another time. But it just simply doesn't work like that. Troubles have a way of coming to us at an inconvenient time and an inopportune time. And what makes problems a problem is that they often catch us off guard. You see, the word there that says crowd into your life is a Greek word, peripatetē, which literally means to fall into unexpectedly. So it's the same word that's used about the Good Samaritan who became a victim to the robbers. You see, the fourth thing that we need to understand, and it's kind of like the good news, troubles have a purpose. They're purposeful. In other words, there's a purpose behind every problem that you're facing. James chapter 1 verse 3 says this. It says, realize that these troubles have come to produce. They come to produce in you. What is he saying? He's saying they're variable, they're unpredictable, you can't figure them all out, but they're productive. They have a purpose. Troubles can be productive, and it's dependent as to exactly how we choose to respond to them. The stress and stuffing can have value in our lives if we have the right perspective. James is saying that God is saying that he uses difficulties for good in our lives. You see, God uses all these different things that we face for a particular purpose. Number ones, and the book of James tells us, so let's look at some of the things that God uses troubles, or how God uses trouble to achieve certain things in our lives. Firstly, he uses trouble for the purpose of testing our faith. Troubles test our faith. That's what he says in James chapter 1 verse 3. He says, they come to test your faith. Now, faith is like a muscle. And the only way a muscle grows is by being stretched and strengthened and to be placed under weight or pressure. That's the only way. The word testing here is used for refining metals. And metals can only be refined through heat, much heat and pressure. Now, right now, the heat may be on your life in some form of problem. But, you know, we have to realize that all of these things, that the trouble has come to test our faith, but we need to trust God. The second thing and the second reason why we can trust God when we're going through problems and troubling times is because the second purpose of troubles in our lives is to build about an endurance in us. Troubles develop our endurance. Notice it says there, troubles develop endurance. The English word for this is steadfastness. What is it? It's perseverance. It's staying power. It literally means having the ability to abide under, the Greek word hupomone. And my friends, that's really what God is wanting to achieve in allowing us to go through these problems. James mentions a third thing that problems, crisis, and troubles achieve in our lives. And it says this, it's the maturing of our character. They test our faith. They develop our endurance, but they mature our character. This is verse 4. He says, but let the process, it's a process of maturity. Let the process go on until you become men of mature character with integrity and with no weak spots. Wouldn't you like to be that? A man or a woman of integrity. A man or a woman with no weak spots. A man or a woman with character and maturity. A woman with character and ambition. He says, that's what happens when you learn to respond to trouble correctly. Years ago, there was a study that was done in Russia, and it was about the effect of how different living conditions affect the longevity of lifespan of different animals. In other words, scientists discovered that animals placed in comfortable and easy living conditions actually became weaker and more susceptible to sickness. And they would often die sooner in these comfortable conditions than those who are allowed to experience the more normal hardships of life. And I think the same is true of us as human beings. You see, There are four ways that the book of James advises us to respond to trouble, and to have a kind of faith that isn't troubled by troubles. And firstly, God says, rejoice when you fall into various troubles. Listen to what James chapter 1 verse 2 says. It says, my friends, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy. Man, Solomon or Joseph, I mean, listen to what they said. They said, you know, what was meant for evil, God meant it for good. You say, what? Be full of joy? I don't understand that. He's not saying deny your reality. He's not saying pretend like there are no problems. He's not saying fake it till you make it. No, no, he's not saying put on a plastic smile or a mask. No, he's not saying you must be like a person that suffers from masochism, that enjoys to suffer. No. But we need to rejoice because we understand that God sees and cares about everything that we're going through. We know that we're not alone, that He's with us. We know that He will give us strength if we trust Him. But the greatest comfort of all is that when you're going through a pain, when you're going through a trouble, the greatest comfort can be seen in Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And the Bible has promised us that God will take care of us. The Bible says that God will work all things for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Man, He's saying that when you're going through a tough time, that joy is a choice. It's your choice to rejoice. It's not based on circumstances. It's based on what you know. It's based on faith. We know that in all things, God works everything for our good. It's a choice to rejoice. As David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times, not just in good times. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to rejoice at God at all times. He says, I will do that. That's a choice. The second thing that James says to do when you find yourself in trouble is relax and ask God for wisdom. God says, don't panic. Don't panic, but pray. He says, worship, relax, trust in me. I am a God of wisdom in your life. James 1:7 says this. I love it from the Phillips translation. It says, if in the process of any of you doesn't know how to meet any particular problem, you only have to ask God, who gives generously wisdom to all men without making them feel guilty, and you may be sure that the necessary wisdom will be given to you. That's a promise. He says God isn't holding back wisdom. God gives wisdom to anybody who asks it. The third thing James says is this. He says, rely on God, believing that He will help. Wow. Verse 8, James 1 says this. But when you ask God for wisdom, you must sincerely believe and expect Him to answer without doubting. Sincerely believe. Oh, my God, that's talking about absolute reliance on God. You're allowing the truth that God has promised to help you and to strengthen you. I love the verse where David says in Psalm 116 verse 67, he says, when I was helpless, God saved me. And I said to myself, relax, relax, because the Lord takes care of you. Wow. Have you said to yourself, just take it easy, just relax, because God is watching over you? Early in verse 2, remember we saw that troubles were variable. They come in all sizes, shapes, and types. And we know that, but there's a grace that's available. Firstly, we need to rejoice knowing that God will use the problem, the troubles in my life. Secondly, we need to relax, asking God for wisdom. Thirdly, we need to rely on God, believing that He's going to help us. And here's the fourth key that James says that you ought to do. He says, refuse to quit remembering God's promises. James 1:12, he says this, happy are those who remain faithful under trials. Happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed in passing such a test, they will receive their reward in life, which God has promised to those who love Him. My friends, there's more than 7,000 promises in all of Scripture. The whole reason that we're going through this is so that you can have a faith that isn't troubled by troubles. My friends, won't you apply the things that I've shared with you today and put them to use and see God deliver you from your troubles? May you be blessed and be strengthened by His word. In Jesus' name, amen.